For more than a decade, Saturdays and Illegal Curve have been synonymous with one another, with insight, analysis, and interviews regarding the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose, and all around the NHL. Here are Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Dave Minuk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here for the next couple of hours talking about the Winnipeg Jets, talking about their current doldrums in the midst of a six-game losing streak, and getting you ready for this afternoon's matinee contest, a key divisional matchup against the St. Louis Blues. We welcome everybody to join the conversation on the live chat. Always appreciate your feedback and your comments. That's part of what makes this show great. Smash the like button, and if you haven't already done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel and subscribe to us on podcast as well. Without further ado, I say good morning to Dave M. I say good morning to Ezzy G. Gentlemen,
good morning.
Good to see you both on this Saturday, the last Saturday in the month of January 2022.
Yeah, good morning, boys. I can't believe January is almost over. Like, what happened? I guess we've all just been hermiting in our houses because it's been so cold, but still incredible that, you know, it's going to be February next week. But yeah, we have a lot to talk about, boys. I mean, I think we're going to do a bit of a deep dive here and try to figure out these problems and then, you know, report back to Dave Lowry and the management like they always do, right? Whenever the Jets are struggling, they go to a legal curve and they ask us to figure everything out. And then, you know, we just return an empty suit briefcase to them, just full of crackers.
Exactly. So, just the only solution we come up with is crackers. Yeah. It's always about crackers for us,
David. We do always get the good crackers. We always get the
saltines.
What we call it? Yeah.
There we go. Salt. No, you can do better. Premium than a saltine, plus. Dave. Premium plus is a saltine. I think. Guy. Yeah. Really, you're a saltine guy? Too salty for me. But in any event, that's not why we're here. Although a good conversation about crackers is something that I'm sure would be riveting for our entire audience.
I don't mind a Triscuit either.
Oh, yeah. Triscuits? Yeah, okay. You guys remember Tam Tams? Tam Tams were a thing for a while there.
Right? Were those like a smaller cracker?
Yeah, sort of like, I think they were sort of associated with Passover a little bit sometimes. I always enjoyed a good Tam Tam. But might be getting into the niche cracker market when we're talking about that.
Well, makes sense, Drew, because your favorite wrestler was Tam Tam Bigelow. So,
all righty, Dave M, how you doing on this Saturday morning?
Doing well. It's going to be a busy one. We got the papers already ready to go. They're up live, so you can read all the latest Jets news and Moose news and notes on the website. And then, of course, we've got this show. Then we got a Jets game at 2:00. I'll be at Canada Life for the Moose game. For the first time ever, playing against the Abbotsford Canucks. So that'll be interesting. The former Moose Farm Club against former Canucks Farm Club.
Former Abbotsford Heat.
Yeah. Well, the Abbotsford Heat were the famous farm club back then.
Yeah,
right?
The Abbotsford Heat actually went to Stockton. Yeah. This is the Utica Comets, which went to Abbotsford. But anyways, point is, first time we're ever going to see them here in Winnipeg, and the two teams play each other. So they were supposed to play earlier in December. Those games got postponed. And then, of course, after the Jets game, we've got another post game. So it's going to be a busy next few hours.
Certainly a busy Saturday for us here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We get started, of course, talking about the Winnipeg Jets. And we know that this team is mired in a losing streak. And yesterday, and after practice, when Mark Scheifele spoke to the media and Dave Lowry spoke to the media, and Lowry was asked, what the identity of this team is. For him to come out and say that they don't really have one right now, or he doesn't really know what the identity is, that's about as damning a statement, I think, as you can get without saying, without using the Q word being quit. Today's game 41, and for this Jets team to not know what their identity is.
I think that's the midway part, by the way, Drew.
Yes, that's doing point. Some simple math to me. That was the midway.
41 of 82, I think, is 50%.
Yes, exactly right there. Yeah. You're doing
I'll check
good,
the calculator, but I think it's 50.
I believe that's called Manitoba math in honor of our good friend Rick Ralph, of course. Yeah. But,
Manitoba math is taking 15% off everything.
Touche, Mr. Ginsberg. The Jets have certainly been taking a lot of percentages off their wins. They've been solid 0% with their wins as of late. Can you imagine that after 41 games, this team doesn't know what its identity is? And to me, identity, you know, I saw some people online saying, you know, big deal or whatever. Identity is how you win. Identity is what you want a successful victory or a successful effort to look like. And this team, based on none other than one of their assistant or associate captains and Mark Scheifele, one of their leaders, allegedly, says we don't know what our identity is. That's about as damning a statement, I think, as you can get regarding this team right now. And it's straight from the horse's mouth, straight from a player himself.
Well, it's straight from the best forward on the team, or one of the best forwards on the team. You know, we could argue all day long. I think, you know, a lot of people would say that, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor are the best forwards on this team. But the point is, Scheifele has been a top forward for the Jets for many years now. So I think it's because, as you said, Drew, comes from the horse's mouth, right, to use an expression. So, yeah, it was surprising. I think most people would be lying if they said they weren't surprised to hear that answer. And, yeah, like, identity is a loaded term here, guys, in hockey and sports. Like, what Drew's trying to get at is, I mean, when you talk about identity, that's kind of saying, like, what are you guys good at? You know, what are you trying to do on a nightly basis? You know, what's going on here? Because when you're losing this many games and you're losing games in different ways, that's why all of these questions keep popping up. Like, you watch them play against the Vancouver Canucks. And the reason why, you know, the identity has become such a hot topic here is because it's kind of confusing from period to period, even kind of what the Jets are trying to do. Like, you know, Dave Lowry touched on it a little bit, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, because I watched the video on illegalcurve.com, courtesy of the Jets, right? Like, Lowry was essentially saying, you know, not verbatim, but he was essentially saying, we're still trying to figure out our identity. So it's not just Scheifele that's saying, you know, probably not. That was the famous, you know, words from him yesterday, but it's also Lowry. And to me, when you're 41 games into the season, you don't want to still be trying to find your identity. Like, yes, Lowry took over as the interim head coach, but he was the assistant coach last year. So he knows a lot about the culture of this team. And obviously the culture of a team has a lot to do with the identity, right? Like, we know that. I mean, it comes from, you know, top down. And I think, you know, True North is a very well-run organization. I think they've been criticized, you know, at times, but I mean, their track record speaks for itself. So, I mean, the Jets organization has had success, but right now there's an issue in this team, the way that they play and the way that they lose games. Because when you have that much talent, even when you're missing Ehlers and Morrissey, Dave, like with, you know, Connor and Dubois, Scheifele, Kopp, I mean, the list goes on of talented players on this team. Cole Perfetti has done a nice job coming in, you know, 10 games into, you know, his career. Like, this team should be doing better. This team's effort should be better on a nightly basis. I don't think anybody would have predicted this back in October, you know, that the Jets would be, what are they, a point ahead of the Chicago Blackhawks? Like
they're one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, it's, you can't sugarcoat it any more than that. You can talk about all the talent that's on the paper, and you can talk about all the talent that's on the roster and how they should be better. But the reality is, Dave M, you are what you are. And, you know, your record says that you're one of the worst teams in the league. Certainly since a 9-3-3 start, you're one of the worst teams in the league. And, you know, the talk about puck luck or the talk about a bounce here or a bounce there, I think that is, that's, you know, foolish speak, to be perfectly blunt. They're not a bounce away from being a better team. They need a full term reset and, you know, to find out how they're going to succeed. And clearly the players don't know how they're going to succeed. And I'm not sure that Dave Lowry himself knows how they need to succeed at this point.
Well, I think right now their identity, I hate trying to sum everything up in one sort of cliche phrase. Like, what is your identity? Oh, we play fast. Well, we're a heavy team. We're tough to play against. Okay, great. But you have to show it, right? It's easy to say words into a microphone. Wait, we're doing that right now. And you know, but you actually have to put...
We don't get paid millions of dollars.
That's true. Well, maybe you don't. But, Ezzy and I, unfortunately, for you, Drew, are
you guys signed the contracts.
I need a mic cover. I'm spraying a little bit here, boys.
The point is that, you know, it's right now this team just seems fragile. I would use, you want to talk about identity? I would suggest that fragile seems to be the word for them, because, you know, I thought they played a very good game against Pittsburgh.
So you're saying the Jets are like basically a vase or a vase.
Yeah. That's fragile. I mean, I wasn't, but sure. I mean, if you want to go there, as then we can use that one. But I just think that if you look at that Pittsburgh game, that was a game where you're coming off the Boston loss and you're thinking, okay, Pittsburgh is playing extraordinarily well, and they had been rested, and you play a very good, for the most part, game. And then all of a sudden, you know, what is it, 90 seconds completely changed the fortunes of the Jets. And I just didn't think that, you know, if the team had the confidence to play to whatever their strengths are, then maybe you don't have that breakdown right after you give up a goal. But because of the way the team is, you do. And so it's a tough situation for this Jets team. But look, at the end of the day, we can point out that Josh Morrissey, who's been a workhorse this year and logging huge minutes, is missing. You can point out that Nikolaj Ehlers is one of the most dynamic players on this team. But as people would point out quickly, who gives a shit? I mean, the St. Louis Blues, as I keep pointing out, are 16 points ahead of the Jets. Obviously, they have three more games played. But the St. Louis Blues have played games short this year.
Yep.
The St. Louis Blues have used like their fourth goaltender this year. So the St. Louis Blues, who are having a good year.
Five goalies, in fact.
So you've got a Blues team that has had more adversity than probably maybe the Senators would be the only other team, or the Flames. Those three teams, I would think.
Avalanche. One.
Yeah, but I mean, well,
there's been plenty of teams that have had to go through.
So look at
COVID or injuries. Yeah. Right.
So my the point I'm making is that you can't say that your team is dealing with more than anyone else, because it's just not factually accurate. Everybody's dealt with COVID. Everybody has dealt with injuries. So it's how you react. And the truth is, as I often detail on this show or a post game show, you know, your Moose team, which is the farm club, has been able to, when you've needed players because of those situations, they've brought new guys in. And, you know, whether it's, you know, like what assistant coach Eric Dubois told us after the game about inclusivity and why this team is just so tight. And it's one thing I didn't talk about after the game on Thursday, but there were probably 10 players to watch Johnny Kovacevic make his NHL debut. To me, that's...
actually talk about it.
Did I? I don't remember if I actually specifically mentioned
it. You mentioned it.
Okay, well,
it's worth bringing up again.
Yeah, your point is valid.
What Dave's trying to say is this is a tight-knit group.
Yeah,
that's what your point is, right?
And that the Moose are a tight-knit group. Yeah, absolutely.
And ultimately, it's what I always talk about. It's that idea of being a team. So you lose one piece of the team, and you insert a new piece, and yet the engine continues to roll along. It doesn't break down. And with the Jets right now, we're not seeing that sort of same sort of momentum to be able to, like, look, we shouldn't even be talking about the 9-3-3 after the first few games, because
that's long ago.
Right? It feels like it was another season. Yeah. And quite frankly, the Jets are in a new season. It's called the losing season, right? So six in a row. The only thing you can do against a really tough St. Louis team, I mean, you have to show something. You have to show your spirit, because if you don't,
you leave it all on the ice. You have to leave it all on the ice.
You have to, because the reality is that you've got a Philly team that's probably, you know, just as kind of clueless as you are. Well, probably worse, given the fact that, as Drew talked about last show, they've had two 10-game losing streaks already this season.
Right.
And so, I was just going to say, so like you have an opportunity to change completely flip the script, completely change the narrative. If you can, like, who gives a shit what they say in interviews? They don't even, 90% of these guys don't even like doing them anyways. But the point is, as you can see, it's like pulling teeth. So I think that realistically, and again, they can say a bunch of stuff to us in the media, and if they don't go out on the ice and do it, then really it was just words, right? So you have to be able to see what they're able to do on the ice. That's where they should be judged. I mean, their words to me, 90% of the time, even though I listen to them, are meaningless, because, like I said, it has to be backed up on what they're doing on the ice. So we'll see what they do today. We'll see what kind of effort they put forth.
Well, yeah, you know, what's as problematic to me as he's sorry is that you watch them play, and they certainly don't look like they're all, you know, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to have every single facet of your game at 100% at all times, but you can't have 0% of your facets of your game going and expect to win.
You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Well, I mean, that's
Michael Scott.
You know, yeah, thank you. I mean, that's the cliche there. You know, John Calipari, you know, head coach of the University of Kentucky basketball.
Well, I knew it was coming, Drew.
Well, I mean, you know, he says, you know,
shout out Kentucky.
The big game later on this afternoon against Kansas, a huge matchup. But you know what he says? You know, he talks about three pointers, And he says, look, you don't have to make every three-pointer, but you can't miss every single one of them. And this Jets team right now is missing every single one of their three-pointers. They're not...
Are you saying that the Jets should trade for Steph Curry?
I mean, sure. I mean, I think it couldn't hurt. But I think what they need to do is they need to focus on one or two aspects of their game and do those one or two aspects as well as they possibly can. Right now, they're so discombobulated that they're trying to do everything at once and not succeeding at anything. So pick out one aspect. Against the Blues, we want to do X. And so X is we want to finish every body check. So go out there and you finish every body check. Or X is we want to, I don't know, we want to make, we want to get out of our zone with crisp passing better. Whatever X might be in this instance. You know, and that's for the players and the coaching staff to nail down. They need to start small. Because right now, they're just all over the place and they're not succeeding at anything. And I think that is where they need to start focusing on, because trying to bite the entire apple in one bite, eat the entire apple in one bite, is not going to be successful. You're going to choke.
As he tried that once, it had a worm.
Yeah, I have choked on an apple before.
And that was the last time, the first and only time he ever ate an apple.
Yeah, now but I just stick to pasta, so.
There you go. Exactly right. I mean, you never know. You didn't know your pasta could come in the shape of an apple, it can.
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, you're right. And look at, in preparing for the show, I know we're going to probably get into it a little bit later in the show, and then we've got Jesse Pollock coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But, I mean, this Blues team is overall a really strong team, right? Like, they're just one point back of Nashville right now. Dave mentioned they had a slew of injuries earlier this season. Jordan Kyrou is leading them in points this year. He's having a breakout year. Robert Thomas, who was a rookie when they won the cup back in 2019, he's turning into, a top playmaker. And Pavel Buchnevich has really added a nice dimension to the team. Really solid, big, skilled player. This is a team that really doesn't have a lot of weaknesses right now. Like, they're eighth in the NHL in goals for. They're top 10 in goals against. They might have the sixth best goals against. They've got a top five power play. They've got a top five penalty kill, right? So, like, it's well-rounded. It's not like this team is, just good on the power play and not very good defensively. Like, this team is good both offensively and defensively. So I think you got to start with how you play defensively. You have to be better, and especially with the guys that are out of the lineup right now. Like, Dave's been documenting it on illegalcurve.com, like, going through all the injuries, right? Like, Josh Morrissey's not going to play this afternoon. Dylan DeMello's not going to play this afternoon. No Logan Stanley, right? So, like, you're now going back to Declan Chisholm. And Declan Chisholm has shown that he is not afraid of the NHL game. Like, we've talked about it. This guy is a little bit older than maybe, some first-year defensemen, right? 22, Dave, I believe, or 23 years old, right? So, I mean, Chisholm, nobody's worried about what he can do. If you've been watching the Moose, he's been really solid. So the Jets are going to have to be strong defensively, because the Blues have a lot of guys that can put the puck in the net, right? Like, we talked about it. Kyrou, Thomas, Tarasenko, Buchnevich, Ryan O'Reilly. Like, but they're also, I think, better than I think some people give them credit for defensively. Whether or not it's, Ville Husso or Jordan Binnington in net. Binnington's actually had some struggles this year, and he's obviously, been on the IR and stuff like that. But yeah, you're going to have to be very strong. And when you talk about, keeping the game simple, I mean, the Jets better make sure that they minimize their mistakes and don't take too many penalties. Because as we talked about, the Blues have a really good power play, and, they're a good even strength team as well. So, I mean, this is a big test for them.
The Blues have the third best power play in the league. They've scored the fourth most goals in the entire NHL, and they've given up the eighth fewest goals in the NHL. Yeah. So the St. Louis Blues.
That's a well-rounded team to me, Drew, right? Like, it's not like they've got a great, one good area. Like, they're solid all around.
Yeah, this is a very good hockey team the Jets are playing against today. And even, even if the Jets put forth a good effort, which is, hasn't happened, on a consistent basis, they still might lose. So, a good effort doesn't necessarily guarantee them anything at all. But you need to start small with this team right now. And, I mean, you wonder, when is rock bottom? Was rock bottom Thursday against Vancouver? Well, I would not be surprised if it gets worse than what we saw on Thursday. I mean, they look like they're a team that's searching for answers. And when you come out and you talk about, we don't have an identity, and the head coach comes out and he's talking about the fact yesterday that, you know, he has to preach expectations to the team. This is a veteran-laden team. This isn't a young team. This is a veteran-laden team that's been together for years.
Well, it's a little bit younger with what's happening on the back end, but your point is well taken. Right. The forward group is definitely veteran, Drew.
Yes.
With the exception of Cole Perfetti, obviously.
Dave Lowry talking about that he has to talk about expectations to these guys at this point at game 41 when this team has been together for the vast majority of years.
I think just to quickly clarify, if I had to, having listened to the media availability, I would suggest that I think he was suggesting that he was trying to explain what his expectations were for this team. Not to say that, you know, at game 41, these guys should know. But I think I'm just telling you.
Why don't the players know what his expectations are then,
Dave? Well, I mean, that's a different answer. I mean, I can't answer why they don't know something. I'm just telling you based on the way he spoke yesterday, the wasn't because he qualified when he was asked, you know, the question that you're responding to. Mm-hmm. And then the follow-up was, I need to let them know what my expectation is. Not to say that this team doesn't know what expectations they have, but I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not trying to be an apologist. I'm just telling you that it was clear that he was suggesting that the team knew for the first 35 games what Paul Maurice's expectations were. Now they know for the last six or seven games what Dave Lowry's expectations are. Again, whether that's sufficient or not, that's a different argument, a different conversation. But I think that's what he was attempting to get towards in answering whether it was Scott or Mike's question yesterday in the availability.
Fair enough, and I appreciate the clarification there. That's still, and the context is important, but to me, it's still more of a warning sign than it is anything else that, you know, that at this point, even with Dave Lowry now as the interim head coach, and he hasn't been here as long, you know, for all 41 games, at least as the head man behind the bench, but he was on the coaching staff for all 41 games. The fact that it's still in question to me is a significant issue. It's like, I wonder, I mean, are they talking and the message isn't getting through in particular to the forward group? I mean, I just don't understand how at this point in time, at this point in the season, this is still an issue. Aside from the fact, the only thing that comes to my mind is that if the message isn't getting heard, you've already changed the head coach. Now there's an argument to be made that you should have brought in a voice completely from the outside of the organization. And I would certainly agree with that.
We've already crossed that bridge. So
it's already done. You're right. Yeah. You're not going to get another.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you though, Drew. I mean, we talked about like maybe a guy like Rick Tocchet, for example, right? Like, and again, we don't know if, you know, Chevy, you know, reached out to someone like Rick Tocchet, like, you know, people were saying John Tortorella. I mean, Tortorella was not going to come to Winnipeg after what happened with Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus.
Wanted to keep Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Torts might get a job with another NHL team. I don't know. Maybe he's just going to, you know, be involved with hockey and on the broadcasting side. I'm not sure. But I mean, that would be a couple of the guys. But your point is well taken, Drew, in that you know, Dave Lowry isn't a new voice in the sense that he was an assistant for what, a year and a half or, you know, whatever, over a year, because he became an assistant coach last year. So I think, you know, it's on the leadership group. I said this, you know, after the Vancouver game, it's on the leadership group of this team. And that includes obviously the big boys, Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler. But, you know, it also includes Kyle Connor is a veteran on this team, right? Andrew Kopp. There's a lot of guys like this isn't, you know, they're the guys that are on the ice. And obviously, you know, the coaches have to make the right decisions in terms of personnel and strategy and everything like that. But like these guys are the ones that are like, they could miss the playoffs this year. Like this is a team again, Nate Schmidt said this at the beginning of the year to Dave. Dave had a really good talk with Nate Schmidt. And what was he talking about? I love coming to a team that isn't in a rebuild. We know that we're going for the Stanley Cup this year. Well, they're not in a good position right now to even just make the playoffs, right? So they have to win these types of games. Obviously, you know, they can still make the playoffs if they lose this afternoon, guys, but like a 6-game losing streak definitely isn't doing them any help. I mean, you just have, you know, too many teams right now that are ahead of them, right? Like we talked about even Dallas, 5 points ahead, and yeah, they've played one more game than the Jets, but like Dallas is in the wild card spot. So you got to start winning some games. They had to start winning, you know, these games, you know, going back to the road trip and then coming back and beating a team like Vancouver, or beating a team like, you know, so The excuses, there's no more time for excuses. I mean, the season is quickly slipping away from these guys.
It's if it isn't already gone, you're right, it is rapidly slipping away. As he, no excuses for not smashing the like button, no excuses for not subscribing via YouTube and on podcast. Let's go to our first commercial break. When we come back, more Jets talk. Jesse Pollock, our good friend, is going to join us as well. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Bottom of hour number one, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Drew, there he is.
Ezra Ginsberg and our buddy Jesse Pollock joins us on the show live from Toronto, where he's still proudly wearing that Jets jersey. You might be getting some gears from the folks in Toronto a little bit more often now, Jesse, given the success of the Leafs and the struggles of the Winnipeg Jets.
Different moods for sure, but you know what just cheered me up was that commercial break. You guys absolutely nailed all of those. Amazing. Well,
with any time we got Ezzy being trapped and crushed under a piano, it's definitely a winner. That is, that one's one of my favorite commercials of all time, undoubtedly. Just the
we're just channeling our inner Jesse Pollock from the 7-Eleven commercial. That's just what we're doing there. So that's why we nailed it.
I don't know if I'm on the same score as you guys there. The Rollies one really had me laughing. And that brings me really hungry. So.
There you go. You got to get back to town. You're fading in and out a little bit with your audio, Jesse. So I don't know if you can get a little bit closer to the mic or something like that. But
Jesse's auto tune. He's just got the auto tune on right now.
That's DJ Jesse going on right there. We'll let you get back to that in a second. Obviously brought you on to talk a little bit about the Winnipeg Jets. You always bring a different perspective to the team as they're struggling here. Losers of six in a row ahead of this afternoon's contest in St. Louis against the Blues. A reminder: the Illegal Curve postgame show later this afternoon, right around 4:50 p.m. We'll have the latest on the Jets and the Blues, and Dave M, of course, will have the latest on the Moose and the Abbotsford Canucks going on at the arena in downtown Winnipeg also later this afternoon. Jesse's working on his mic problem, so we'll get him back in here momentarily. You know, it goes back to just, you know, I think you have to start small from the Winnipeg Jets perspective in today's contest. There you go. That ain't better. Can we hear you now?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me? Sorry about that. I've had some issues with my computer's microphone before, and usually I know how to fix it when it happens on Zoom, but this should be better now because I'm on my phone.
Yeah. And we can see Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta joined you there.
Man, StreamYard's so difficult because, like, obviously it mirrors you a little. So if I turn my phone to the right, it'll show me on the left and vice versa. So I'm trying to get right in the middle here. There we go. I think that's good.
There you go. I think you got it now, Jesse. You know, we were talking for the first half of the show about, you know, the Jets and their comments at practice yesterday about this team is just searching for an identity and searching for, you know, I guess the recipe for success. You know, how concerning is that from your perspective that at game 41, which is this afternoon's game against St. Louis, they don't know how to succeed, that they don't know what their game needs to look like for it to ultimately be successful?
Well, we don't have an identity because we haven't had our entire team in the lineup at like any point of the season. It's crazy. First, it's like it's COVID, and then it's injuries. It's hard to find an identity when you don't have a full lineup, and you can never really know who you are if you don't have everyone playing together. It's still concerning. I guess like if you have some players out, you still want to have some sort of identity. But this has just been a very strange year for the Jets. It hasn't been our year, and I hate saying that, but you go through a coaching change in the middle of the year. You have guys who are just, you know, our best players all haven't been playing together at the same time. That's frustrating. So I completely understand why the team doesn't have an identity this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think you're right. And I think, you know, sometimes people don't want to talk about, you know, the injuries, whether it's Ehlers or Morrissey, or whether it's an injury earlier in the season, right? Like COVID. When they didn't have COVID, Scheifele and Wheeler were on COVID. Like everybody is obviously dealing with COVID, but I agree with you, especially when it's Ehlers and Morrissey and you're struggling and those are two of your best players. And just getting away from the identity for a second, we've talked quite a bit lately on the post-game show and on the Saturday morning show about the play of Connor Hellebuck. And obviously, bless you, obviously, or Gesundheit, even though I think everybody knows that, you know, Hellebuck is always going to be the number one goaltender. Just what are you kind of seeing from him? Because, and it's not just, you know, the gaffes behind the net. I mean, that obviously, we know Hellebuck is not, you know, Marty Brodeur behind the net, but are you at all concerned, Jesse, you know, with the amount of games played? We talked about it, like Eric Comrie hasn't played in well over a month. It's been almost 2 months, and obviously he was in COVID protocol, but just overall this year, as of late, the last couple of weeks, what are you seeing from Hellebuck? Because obviously he's going to have to be fantastic this afternoon against St. Louis.
Yeah, I think the Jets need to find a backup goaltender who they're really comfortable with, and it shows it's so important to have that in the NHL, and you can't just keep riding Helly like this. It's you know, losing a guy like Laurent Brossoit sucks, clearly, and you know, Helly's taken on too big of a load, and you know, his play obviously hasn't been as good as a result of it, and what else is there to say? We got to address this issue.
Well, Jesse, I'm gonna flip it over to a little less of a serious topic. James Robinson brings up the fact that you're stuck in Toronto with no VJs, which leads me nicely into my question, because, you know, one of the things I think we don't see enough of is personality on this team. And I think your feature with Pierre-Luc Dubois, I know it resonated huge with people in our audience, because, I mean, it got an insane number of views on our site on legalcurve.com. But
Jesse, I went to Sal's and got 3 nips right after that.
Okay. Proud to say that Earl Barish actually called me, you know, just because I think he wanted to, Earl Barish, own, like the creator of Sal's, like an absolute
owner.
Legend.
Owner of Sal's, not the creator, sorry. The owner of Hold Sal's.
On. Let's not forget about Dickie D as well. Jesse, Dickie D,
but you know, Earl's done so many things. He had the Cyclones in Winnipeg and all this stuff. But yeah, I actually got to talk to him a little bit, just because I think he just wanted to just like say thanks for us recognizing him. I was like, man, are you kidding me? Like, thank you for doing such a good job with running Sal's Treehouse.
But Jesse, it's like, how much fun was it kind of getting behind the scenes and getting to know Pierre-Luc Dubois and getting a chance to showcase his personality? Because the problem I find a lot of times, especially in Canada, is when you put guys under the microscope and you put them into a room where they're not having the ability to be one-on-one. We haven't been one-on-one with these guys in so long. You lose that connection that you are able to develop. And it's not about being friends with these guys, but it's be able to show a different side. And I thought you were able to do that with Pierre-Luc Dubois that we haven't seen really from this team. And I think what it does is it connects fans to the player. And we haven't had that for so long now.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. I think, well, I'm lucky that I have actually known Doobie for a little while. It goes back to my days where I had the pleasure of coaching him for a charity hockey game back in the day. If you want, anyone can go check that one out on YouTube. Things got pretty heated between Boone Jenner and I. Yeah, I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is just a great guy. Every experience I've had with him, he's been awesome. I got to interview him once. I know you guys always give my stuff love, which I'm extremely appreciative of. I love the Legal Curve. I got to interview PLD, I guess closer to the start of the year, and you know, I'll message with him sometimes, just like on Instagram or whatever, just DM. He's just a really, really good dude. And I know you got to see it through the video, but he's been nothing but, you know, my little brother got to meet him too. My little brother Jane got to bartend. I think it was Blake Wheeler's when he hit 1,000 games. No.
Yeah,
1,000th game recently.
Yeah.
So Jane got to bartend for that, and POD was like nothing but nice to him as well, just joking around with him. So yeah, that was awesome. I think it's, you know, we actually have some other content coming out as well. Got to do an interview with Mark Scheifele, which was great. And got to do an interview with Nick Ehlers as well, which I learned some really interesting stuff about Nick Ehlers. I'll give a little taste as to what I learned. I don't know if anyone else knew this, but Nick Ehlers holds Swiss. He has a Swiss passport. So Switzerland has been trying to get him to play for them internationally, and he has actually he said no because he's from Denmark and he wants to represent Denmark. But could you imagine if you throw Ehlers into the mix of that Swiss group? Like, that's a really good core that Switzerland mm-hmm. could have. They were going to the Olympics and Ehlers was playing there. Wow. So, no, it's really – it's honestly I consider myself very grateful and fortunate to be able to do the work that I do. I love, you know, Bar Down. I think that's what we want to make hockey more fun, and I think this is all part of just, like, the process. And I look forward to hopefully continuing to build relationships with Jets players and allow fans to see a different side of them, because – I think there's this idea that hockey is so boring and hockey players are so boring, but maybe we just need to do a better job, you know, from the media side as well, of making it more fun.
Jesse Pollock from TSN's Bar Down is our guest Saturday
morning. Drew likes
morning.
Fun, right, Drew?
I hate fun, in fact. I'm well known for not having any fun and disliking fun and actually disliking people who are having fun. That's how deep my dislike goes. In any event, Jesse
Drew,
Pollock.
Are we gonna have to drop the gloves here, buddy?
Oh, I think like a peach. I'm also a pacifist. I'm anti-violence. I don't like getting my face doesn't respond well to that. So no, I think we're gonna be okay.
Drew's a little bit short, but he's scrappy. I've seen Drew get into it a little bit.
The only
in the GSA person, Floor Hockey League.
No, the only person I can take is Remus. Remus, I can take. I think. Other than that, yeah. I like to shy away from violence.
My 2-year-old Ruben can take Remus.
In any event, Jesse Pollock is our guest, TSN's Bar Down, talking about the Jets in St. Louis later this afternoon to face the Blues. You know, Jesse, when you're struggling, like the Jets are struggling, when you're, you know, just looking for anything good to build upon, how significant is it for this team to maybe get some depth scoring or get a goal from an unlikely source that can maybe get this team to start feeling a little bit better about themselves? Because if you would have said at the beginning of the year that goal scoring, particularly at 5-on-5, would be a problem for this Jets team, given the talent up and down the roster, you would have thought that certainly, of all the issues, wouldn't be one at the forefront.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you're crazy. And I think that some players who we're banking on to get some more scoring from, especially like in the past, have just not been doing it. Like, I'd love to see Christian Vesalainen, you know, start contributing a little as well. That would be nice to see to see him get going a little bit. And yeah, we just haven't been getting it from our depth pieces. It's kind of the same people that we are relying on for offense every game, and it's getting frustrating, and it's clearly something that we're going to need to address in the future. And not an issue that we figured that we would be running into. I'm also really curious as to what's going to happen at the trade deadline if the Jets continue to slide a little here. Are we going to be selling? Like, what's going to happen with a guy like Andrew Kopp? You got to think that a guy like Andrew Kopp could definitely be on the move if the Jets are not in a position to make the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, some more scoring would be pretty ideal. and I think players who we have been counting on for just have not been stepping up, and it sucks. The Jets are just not in a good place right now.
You know, kind of getting, you know, Drew's negative Nelly. So I'm going to, you know, get a little bit positive here, because I'm the, you know, a ray of sunshine on a cloudy day, Jesse.
I'm actually willing to fight you, Ginsburg. That's the one person I think I'm Remus and you, even though
you don't want to take me on. My dad's from Flin Flon. You don't want to take me on, Drew.
That's true.
Just, but you know, I got the cardio advantage.
I got the cardio advantage. I can move. I'll bob and weave, and you'll be winded.
Yeah. After 30 seconds, I'm like on the ground. But
around the boxing ring.
Jess, I wanted to ask
you. I'll tell you what. An Illegal Curve charity boxing match between Ezzy and me would be something that would be.
Well, I'll do it for charity.
Successful.
I'll absolutely do it for charity.
RJ,
there you go. To raise money for charity.
RJ, Jesse, and I call
make it happen.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Dave and I will be calling it from the side.
Yeah, you and Dave will be doing the broadcasting. Ezzy and I in a charity boxing match. You know,
Drew, you don't want a piece of this. It'll be like Mike Tyson, Peter McNeely. You'll be down on the canvas in like 30 seconds. Jess, I wanted to ask you about Cole Perfetti, because obviously, you know, he's been, you know, one of the bright spots on this team. We talked about Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's having a great bounce back year. But, you know, Perfetti in the game against Florida, I mean, I know, you know, just following you on Twitter, I know you were loving those beauty sauce passes that he was making to Dubois and Connor. And obviously, you know, the 10 game mark was talked about a lot. I don't think anybody was surprised that, you know, the Jets were perfectly fine burning the first year of the entry level deal. But, you know, just how fun is it to watch him get this opportunity? Because most likely, you know, he probably doesn't get this opportunity if a guy like Nick Ehlers is out of the lineup, right? So just what have you seen from Perfetti, who's obviously, you know, just every time you watch him play, you can just, the skill is just so abundant.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think one nice thing that's one positive about this entire stretch, struggling, we've been getting to take a look at some of our younger players. And honestly, kind of about time. I don't know, I guess you can argue saying about time considering the Jets have been struggling. But I think one thing that people probably had an issue with when it came to Paul Maurice is that he just kind of stuck to his same guys all the time and was a little afraid to give other players an opportunity. And I think it's really nice that we're starting to see some younger players. And we're always saying, like, when are we going to start bringing our younger guys up? And when is this team going to start clicking? And so I think it's been great to see Perfetti. You know, obviously you want to see Hanola get some more action. Sandberg sucks if he's out for a bit. But I think if these guys can come up and really be contributors next year, so sad I'm already thinking about next year. But if they could be solid contributors next year, really find their own game, and then our best players can continue being our best players. The Jets, I think next year is going to be a different story in Winnipeg. But there are so many questions with the Jets that need to be answered. I mean, is Dave Lowry going to be back behind the bench? Like, who's going to be gone? Who's going to be coming up next year? I feel like every year I'm just always saying, oh, this is going to be such an interesting year for the Jets. Like, what's going to happen? So have you guys thought of potential coaching candidates for the Jets?
Well, I mean, I think as things currently stand, it'd be hard to believe, and Dave, you can get in as well, it's hard to believe that, you know, Dave Lowry's name is going to be at the top of that list unless things change around dramatically over the remaining 41 games. You know what? This is not a team you wonder, and I'm of the opinion that if this season continues to spiral in the way that it is, or the way that it has been as of late, would you be looking at a full-scale front office change? You know, Kevin Cheveldayoff would have had, you know, 11 years to make his mark on this team. Do you wonder, does it need to be a complete revamp of the organization? Now, that would be definitely not the True North style. You know, we know how reticent they are to really make any significant changes, but you certainly would be on the table more so than basically any other offseason if things continue the way they're going. And then I see in the comments somebody's talking about Barry Trotz. Well, I'm hard.
I don't know if Barry's going anywhere.
I'm hard pressed to believe the Islanders are going to get rid of him. But if they were, homecoming with Barry Trotz would be, I think, acceptable to almost everybody that's listening and or watching this program.
I'll throw one name out there, Jesse. And obviously, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. You know, nobody can predict the future. Claude Julien is a guy that I've always thought he's going to be coaching the Olympic team, of course, right? So Claude Julien is one guy. I mean, Rick Tocchet is another guy that's out there. I don't know. I have no idea if, you know, the Jets have considered either of those, because right now they're obviously going with Dave Lowry, right? But Claude Julien, for me at least, I can't speak for Dave or Drew or you, but I'd say he's probably at the top of the list just based on his track record.
As I know you and I discussed this a little as well, and a bit of a controversial name here. But I wonder about Mike Babcock, and if Mike Babcock, if he'll make a return to the NHL, you know, obviously we've heard so many things about Mike Babcock, but what we've also heard is that he's a great coach. And I don't know if that's someone who the Jets would consider hiring, but that I think is an interesting name to, you know, keep an eye on, maybe. I'm not saying that the Jets should do it or anything, but I just really wonder, you know, Winnipeg, relatively great fans, but relatively small market, at least for the Canadian teams, with a solid roster. I think for a guy like Mike Babcock, that'd be a great opportunity for him if he doesn't end up going to Edmonton.
A clash of strong personalities between Mike Babcock and Blake Wheeler might make for some interesting viewing. I mean, those are two guys who are not shy about, you know, expressing their opinion and, you know, being a little bit set in their ways, let's say. I think it would be a very interesting dynamic between a strong personality as a head coach and a strong personality as the current captain of this team.
You know what, though? You know what? Yes, a and I completely agree, but I think Mike Babcock is going to understand that things are going to be need to be a little different for him when he comes back behind the bench. He's not going to be able to stick to his old ways anymore. You know, he reportedly treated some players like crap, made them feel terrible, like literally like mentally abused players from the sounds of it in Detroit. And that's just not going to fly anymore. And he's going to have to keep his ego in check and realize that he's not bigger than everyone anymore. He's going to have to start working with people rather than thinking that that everyone else works for him. Yep. Sorry, Mike. Like, that's just the reality. That's the reality of your situation now. And I think Babcock strikes me as a pretty intelligent guy. And I would imagine that he has, I would hope that he learned that he can't stick to his old ways anymore, because that is unacceptable. Clearly. That's why he doesn't have a job in the NHL right now. And, him, I'm sticking him on a short leash, and I'm saying, if you do anything out of line to, you know, make any of our players feel uncomfortable, you're gone. And I don't care how good of a coach you are. But then again, I do think that he'll probably get a second chance. And if it's with the Jets, personally, as much as I'm not crazy about Mike Babcock and some of his antics that he's done as a coach, or as a person, I'd say, I think as a coach, he could be a great addition for Winnipeg and could help get this team to where it wants to be.
Well, Jesse, one team in Winnipeg that you can talk about that's flying, well, there's two, actually. There's the Winnipeg Ice, of course, and we know you're doing a lot more about the CHL.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's go.
And we got to talk, of course, about the Manitoba Moose, who are just behind the Chicago Wolves for a second in the Central and are one of the best teams in the AHL. So there is still some positivity here in Winnipeg. With respect to the hockey teams, I do want to talk about your CHL focus, because you guys have been doing a lot more coverage now on TSN. So how do you find that going? And do you find that the audience reaction is you're creating more interest with respect to the CHL?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Well, I just want just a reminder for everyone that we do not own the NHL rights, the digital rights, at least. I know TSN is still able to broadcast regional games, but we do not do national broadcasts, and on digital, we do not have the digital rights to actually show highlights or anything. So the CHL right now, we're really having a great time leaning into it, not only because the athletes are great, we have access to them. Like, I was very fortunate to be able to do a video with Connor Bedard, which was very cool, on Hockey Sticks. But yeah, we're really sinking our teeth into the CHL, because there are three different leagues, first of all. The athletes are great, and the talent is unbelievable. I forget the name. Who was it? Trey Johnson, maybe, on the Brandon Wheat Kings last night. Scored in – I may mess up the name. I think that's the name. Scored an unbelievable goal, like one of the nicest goals I've probably ever seen last night. And he just deserves more love. It hasn't gotten the right amount of respect for years. And no respect. It just hasn't gotten really the right – coverage for years. And I'm really glad that TSN has it, because we're starting to, you know, allowing people to get to know the players, get to know like what the facilities look like. And it's just been awesome. I love the CHL personally. I'm so for the CHL.
Jesse Pollock is with TSN's Bar Down. Jesse, always appreciate your time. Always appreciate your insight, buddy. We'll let you get on with your Saturday morning. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll do it again real soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it, fellas. Thanks for having me, and go Jets. One thing I was going to say to close things out, could you imagine, as we may have chatted about this as well, but like, could you imagine if we had a Jordan Kyrou? Like, we got to find these guys in the draft, elite players in the draft, like a Kucherov, for example. We got to find these. You know, so many of our picks are from the first. No, Andrew Kopp obviously was a nice steal for us, but there are so many of our picks are first rounders, and we got to start finding these deeper players in the draft that are going to help us win, because that's obviously how teams win championships. But anyways,
going back to what you were saying before, I think we're kind of approaching that crossroads, right? Like, I agree with you. I think it's about time that we're seeing Ville Heinola more, and we're seeing, you know, Cole Perfetti more. I think everyone knew that, you know, Perfetti was going to spend the whole year with the Moose last year, but you're right. I mean, you're going to start to see more of guys like David Gustafson, right? Like Chaz Lucius is probably at least a year away. We don't know if he's going to play at the University of Minnesota for another year, but you're right. I mean, I think, you know, there is going to be a bit of a changing of the guard over the next couple of years with the Jets.
100%. And you really wonder, like, yeah, what's going to happen with some of our older players as well? I don't know. Interesting times for the Jets, for sure.
Interesting times indeed, Jesse. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We'll do it again real soon, buddy.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Great to see you.
Likewise. Thanks, Jess. Be well. There he goes. Jesse Pollock from TSN's Bar Down joining us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Let's go to break. When we come back, more on this afternoon's contest in St. Louis. We'll look at the Jets defense. Dave has got more insight into some of the young guys than almost anybody. So Dave M will talk a little bit about what you can expect from some of the, yeah,
that's right. Scouting report, Drew.
Dave M, you're the Moose Insider. Now that the Moose guys are up with the Jets, you can become the Jets Moose Insider or some sort of amalgam thereof. Yeah, shrug those shoulders. It's the Dave M time to shine coming up next. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hi, Ez. A strange question for you. Why are you lying on the ground being crushed by a piano?
Well, Drew, I definitely tried to carry this baby grand piano down the stairs by myself, and somehow I failed miserably.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, that was a silly question on my part. My apologies. Would you like me to call Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage to help you move the piano? They are the most experienced piano moving company in Winnipeg, after all.
Yes, please call Rolly's and hurry. This piano is very, very heavy.
Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage offers stress-free residential moving services while taking great care of your personal belongings, including your piano. At Rolly's, no job is too big or too small. For more information, visit rollys.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Hey, it's Aaron from Bernstein's Deli.
That's right, Ezzy. I'm the guy who makes all your sandwich dreams come true.
So when you think Illegal Curve, what comes to you?
How about juicy chicken schnitzel, grilled salami, fried onions, melted cheddar cheese, and honey mustard on toasted thick-cut city rye bread?
Man, that's like the holy grail of sandwiches.
And so it shall be known as the Illegal Curve Sandwich.
The Illegal Curve Sandwich. Try it today at Bernstein's Deli. Find us at Corridon and Lanark or online at bernsteinsdeli.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Still to come on this morning's program, Lou Korak, who covers the St. Louis Blues for NHL.com. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour to preview this afternoon's contest between the Jets, the struggling Jets, and the St. Louis Blues, who are, I don't know if you call them a juggernaut, but they're certainly an upper echelon NHL team right now.
Who is really a juggernaut, right?
Sure. Who do you have in the Royal Rumble tonight, Ez?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because the Royal Rumble is in St. Louis. I don't know if you knew that.
It isn't.
So it's in St. Louis. So we'll have to ask Lou Korak. I don't think I'm going with Johnny Knoxville. He is in the Royal Rumble match. You know, I follow wrestling a little bit. So Johnny Knoxville, obviously this is, you know, promoting the new Jackass movie, right? Which I'm actually very excited to see. I don't think anybody's surprised that this Jackass likes to watch Jackass. So I am excited about that. But yeah, I think Johnny Knoxville is probably going to get tossed over the top rope pretty early.
I was watching one of the, you know, as a preview for the movie, I was watching one of the bits where they had to like run an obstacle course, like, and there were electric tasers all over the place. These guys are completely insane. I mean, I don't know how they knew what they're yeah. Johnny Knoxville was on. He was on Howard Stern this week, and it was a very good interview. And they were just getting tased by these electric tasers, and they are out of their mind. I don't understand. I mean, I just can't help but laugh.
Johnny Knoxville insane. Talked about one of the stunts involving a bull or something like that. Like he's had traumatic brain injuries. Like he's really had bad injuries, broken bones, stuff like that. Like these aren't, I don't think anybody thinks they're fake. Like these guys don't use stunt doubles, right? No. Like all of these things are real. So yeah, Steve-O, all these guys, I mean, just awesome. It's so much, those movies are so much fun. I'm almost 40 years old. I still like it, but you know, someone like my dad would be like, how do you watch this crap? It's so like lowbrow, but hey, I guess I'm lowbrow.
Johnny Knoxville and those guys have got to be in their late 40s or 50s, I think, at this point in time. Oh, yeah. So they're certainly as immature as we might be for still watching it. How immature are they for going through with it? Although I guess
they're making a lot of money as a result.
Yeah, I was going to say they're pretty popular.
I guess that's the differing factor involved there. In any event, not to talk about wrestling or Jackass, Dave M. You know, this Winnipeg Jets defense today, as we know, is going to look unlike any Winnipeg Jets defense that we'd expected this year, with so many of the regulars, quote unquote, out of the lineup. You know,
Leon Gavanke time, Dave?
Well, he's the next man up. If something else was to happen, he would be in the lineup. It's unexpected. No, nobody expects to see him. But you know, if something else were to happen between now and the game and 2 o'clock puck drop, it would be Leon Gavanke time, because it's everybody makes their NHL debut on the Jets back end season, apparently. You know, what did you think of the proposed combinations, you know, based on practice yesterday, Dave M? These guys, you've seen them play together. You've seen them, you know, play for the Moose as partners in some instances. What were your sort of thoughts, and how would you sort of deploy them ahead of this afternoon's game against St. Louis, where it bears noting, of course, you don't have last change. So you're basically at the mercy of the opposition when it comes to the D pairings.
Yeah, and so just to qualify for everyone who maybe wasn't paying attention to practice yesterday, the pairs were Dillon and Schmidt, Heinola and Pionk, and Chisholm and Kovacevic. That's your third pair. So it's an interesting combo. Originally, I had suggested that maybe they'll go Heinola, Schmidt, Chisholm, and Pionk, and Dillon and Kovacevic. That way you give each rookie a veteran to give them a little bit of a, you know, calming presence. If you will, the pony that leads the thoroughbred to the gate kind of thing. But, it's an interesting set of combinations. Chisholm and Kovacevic haven't played much together. Chisholm actually can play right side. He did a little bit last year. And so generally when he wasn't on the left, he would switch over to the right if they needed him to. And he and Johnny only played 3 games for the Moose last April. So they don't have a ton of experience paired up. Not to say that they couldn't be good, because they're both mobile, they can both skate, and I think they can both read off each other. I just worry that if Dave Lowry went away from Heinola and Kovacevic in like 10 seconds in the last game, why is he suddenly going to trust, you know, that pairing in this game? And interestingly enough, as I talked about ahead of the last game, Heinola and Kovacevic had 8 games this season paired up as a D pairing. So, I mean, they had kind of that muscle memory of playing together versus guys like Chisholm and Kovacevic, who obviously they practice together, but in game action, like I said, have only been paired up the 3 times that I could remember last April. So quite a while ago, obviously from a hockey perspective. So it's interesting. I mean, I suspect what we're going to see is he's going to lean, you know, heavily on Dillon and Schmidt, and he's going to probably play them in the 25 minute mark each, I would imagine. And then you're going to have Pionk, and maybe he'll do almost like a quasi rotation of the 3 younger guys with Pionk, and then try and sprinkle in that third pair when he gets a chance. But you know what? I mean, the at the end of the day, you don't have an option, really. You can't hide anyone. You have to play these guys. And it's one of the things I've talked about for guys like Kovacevic, who isn't waiver exempt after this year. I mean, you really need to see what you have at the NHL level. And look, we don't judge Chisholm and Sandberg, obviously, when they made their NHL debuts together in Detroit. They had a good game. They both played good games, sorry. But we weren't going to write their legacy as NHL players based on one game. You just don't do that. It's very short-sighted to do. You need to kind of gain an understanding of what these guys can do and remove the jitteriness of playing in front of your family and for the first time. Once you remove that, then you see what these guys can do. Well, these guys are going to have to prove that they can do it, right? They're up against, as he's been talking about, a very good St. Louis team where I don't think you're going to have that ability because St. Louis isn't top heavy. They get balanced scoring, right? So as a result, you're going to have these guys, you know, up against players who can get it done. And I think they can handle it. I mean, we're not talking about guys who are first-year pros. I mean, they're rookies in the sense of their NHL careers. But they're like Kovacevic is a third-year pro, right? Like, I mean, he's played, I don't know how many games as a professional, but he's played a lot of hockey. So it's not as if this is something new to him. You know, it's a new level. And the NHL game obviously is different from the AHL. There's a lot less chaos to it, generally. I mean, we've seen it watered down a little bit. So it's not as crispy as it used to be when there were fewer teams and less players. But, I mean, the reality is it's more straight line. There's less. I mean, you come watch an AHL game, and sometimes it's like watching Tim Hortons hockey. Right, there's so much.
Just everybody swarms.
Well, and it's just like passes are not where they should be. They're where they were. It's just not as clean as the NHL game. So, you know, and some guys thrive in that. Some guys who were okay at the AHL level come up to the NHL level and can handle that adjustment because it's more regimented. So they expect it. Chaos, Dave. Chaos. I do think that now. Whenever I mention chaos, I do think of our commercials. So. But I think it's a great opportunity. I think a guy like Chisholm's
really. Why are you honestly, so pissy today, Dave?
I think that was completely
out of context.
Completely. Yeah. Did you get confused with what we were talking about there, Ezzy? It's like, where did that come from? I'm
trying to figure out why my internet is choppy right now. I'm trying to figure it out. I turned off the Wi-Fi on my phone, so I'm just trying to, you know, improve my bandwidth.
Something I instruct Ezzy to do before every show. But anyways, yeah.
An hour and seven minutes into the show. He's going to nail it.
Off the whole time, guys. I was just making sure it was still off.
Here's an oldie but a goodie. Just a suggestion. Just throwing this out there for you two. Maybe you buy an Ethernet cable.
All right. Let's move on from
first off, I don't know what Ethernet cable means.
He ends up sticking it in his ear as opposed to his an Ethernet cable.
I'm going to give you some ether is what I'm going to do.
Ahead of our charity boxing match.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I think that these guys are more than capable of stepping up, right? I think that a guy like Chisholm has shown his confidence with his skating is excellent. His defending isn't supreme. It's not his strength, but he's a phenomenal skater. He's probably the best of the bunch. And so I think he can skate at the NHL level. There's no question about it. It's more whether he can defend. We'll see that. He'll be in tough against a fairly physical St. Louis team. So it's going to be.
Sorry, what were the D pairs again? Sorry, can you go? Can we go over that?
Because there's been so many
defensemen out. It's hard to keep track.
So based on practice, it was Dylan and Schmidt, Heinola and Pionk, and
Chisholm and Kovacevic.
Kovacevic, yeah.
Right, and so you know, going back to what we were saying before, and I agree. I think I would prefer to see kind of the one veteran with. You know, if you want to call it that, like one young defenseman with the veteran defenseman or Heinola and Kovacevic. And we should mention, guys, that, I mean, these D pairs, you might see, you know, some different combinations at some point if, you know, Lowry doesn't like it, like we saw with when Heinola and Beaulieu weren't working out together, right? So we should just mention that. But, like, that's even more reason why, you know, the Jets are going to have to play, you know, a solid team defensive game because, you know, we talked about all the firepower. Like, we didn't even talk about, like, a guy like Brandon Saad, who's having a good year, and David Perron, who's always a thorn in the Jets side. Like, this is a very deep Blues team. And even without Alex Pietrangelo, I mean, it's still a really good group of defensemen. I've always liked a guy like Colton Parayko. I think he's still in the lineup right now. So I don't think he's in the COVID protocol or injured, but, you know, Justin Falk, who obviously loves to come into Canada. and Tory Krug, who still a really good puck moving defenseman. Love Krug. So this is still a good group of defensemen, and obviously the forward group is kind of, you know, very similar. It hasn't changed much. I mean, you've thrown in a guy like Pavel Buchnevich, and obviously Kyrou and Thomas. You know, those are your younger kind of up and coming star players. But the Jets are going to have to play a very solid defensive game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Ville Husso also, I wanted to get that in there, Drew. He's won six straight starts. So we don't know if Husso's going to play today, but there's a good chance he will. It could be Binnington as well.
And just remember, isn't it ironic? Husso was supposed to be the Blues goaltender of the future, and he was injured in San Antonio, and they called it Binnington, and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup as a result. But Husso was actually ahead of Binnington in the Blues depth chart, but just happened to be injured, and Binnington obviously seized that opportunity.
Well, Husso this year, he's played 14 games. He started 13 for the Blues.
Numbers are crazy, Drew.
945 save percentage and a 1.81 goals against average.
He's been
Binnington,
unreal.
Meanwhile, Binnington has started 23 games for the Blues. He's got a 901 save percentage and a 3.27 goals against average. So if you're a Jets fan. We saw
what happened, Drew. On Monday, he let in 7 goals against Calgary.
Yeah. If you're a Jets fan and you're choosing which goalie you want to face, there's no question you'd rather face Jordan Binnington, because he certainly struggled this year. Whereas Ville Husso right now would be, if he ends up playing enough games to get into the conversation, he would be the front runner for the Vezina. Now, I don't think he's quite
struggle last time he played the Jets, though. We know that.
That's true. That's a fair point there, Ezzy. But I mean, you talk about this Blues team, Ezzy, and you talk about how, you know, the Jets, you know, they don't have last change, as we know. You know, they have, this is what a Stanley Cup contender's third line is for the St. Louis Blues. It's Brandon Saad, Braden Schenn, and David Perron. That's a Stanley Cup contender's third line.
I just wanted to say Schenn has been really good. I think he's on a point streak right now. So it's probably the best third line in the league, to be honest with you.
Well, it's certainly a third line that you would put up against any other team's third line. And then it goes back to the conversation about the Jets, and look at their depth versus the depth of the St. Louis Blues. I mean, the Jets' third and fourth lines, there's no comparison. They can't compete. They're not in the same conversation as the Blues' depth. And that's where, you know, ultimately, you know, if and when we're writing the eulogy on Kevin Cheveldayoff as the Winnipeg Jets general manager, it's going to have to talk about his inability to consistently find depth scoring up and down the lineup. Whereas a team like St. Louis, I mean, look, how did they go out and they get guys like Saad and Schenn and Perron? All three of those guys would have been acquired by trade, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, those are guys that they would have had to acquire and be proactive to get on trade market.
The Braden Schenn trade was one of the trades that was talked about with Bobby Clark, if you remember, right? Philadelphia to St. Louis. That was a horrible trade by Ron Hextall.
Right, and Bobby Clark is certainly not, he's still holding a grudge over the Ron Hextall's time in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, it's unbelievable. Like, Braden Schenn, I mean, it's going to be back-to-back Schenns, right? Because the Jets just faced Luke Schenn on Vancouver, two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Tampa Bay Lightning, no big deal. But yeah, Schenn, good Saskatchewan boy. But yeah, I mean, he's your third-line center. Like, that's pretty good.
It just, I mean, just goes to show you, I mean, you know, a general manager and a team that is aggressive. And that's what the Blues are. I mean, you know, you go out and you get Pavel Buchnevich in the offseason. You know, this, you knew the St. Louis, the New York Rangers couldn't afford him anymore because of their salary cap situation. Boom, you drop in Buchnevich, and he's been terrific for the Blues this year. Buchnevich has got 36 points in 37 games. Tarasenko, who I remind you is a guy who asked for a trade earlier in the offseason, well, he's over a point a game this year. I mean, it's fascinating to watch how a team like the Blues have been built and are successful versus a team like the Jets have been built and right now are unsuccessful.
Well,
I
was going to say, Drew, too. I mean, like, that's even more reason why, you know, the Jets, like, whatever you want to call it, we always say, you know, it's a cliche, but the Jets are going to have to play a top level game. An A game is what I was trying to avoid saying, because I know that we're all kind of sick of hearing the A game. But the point is, the Jets are going to have to play a really solid 3-period game to beat this Blues team. Because as we've talked about, like, there aren't a lot of weaknesses on this team. I'm not saying that the Blues are the best team in the league. I don't want to make, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm some type of, you know, Blues fan,
you're in the conversation,
I'm,
though. As
no,
a,
well, I think Colorado. I mean, I don't think I'm alone here in thinking the Avalanche are the best team in the. Like, by the way, Cale Makar just scored his 18th goal of the year. 18th goal of the year. We're only at the midway point of the season. He might score 35 goals as a defenseman. So unbelievable. But like, just with McKinnon and Rantanen, Landeskog, Kadri is having an awesome year. I think he's got 100 assists now. I'm joking. He's got like 40, but still, he's having a great year. But yeah, St. Louis is going to be a tough team to beat. And that's even more reason why, you know, the Jets are going to have to play solid five-man units, right? Like, the margin for error, if you want to talk about margin for error, we've talked about, you know, the mistakes that were made against the Pittsburgh in the Pittsburgh game, right? Like, the Jets had the 2-0 lead, and then we know what happened with the goals and two goals in 9 seconds, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is a team that will come at you in waves, and they have a lot of lines that can hurt you, right? Like, Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, I forget who else is on that second line. It might be Buchnevich, or no, it's Tarasenko. Thank you. Buchnevich is on the top line with O'Reilly and Barbashev. Like, this team has three really good scoring lines. So, I mean, it's a big test for them. But, you know, an opportunity for a guy like Declan Chisholm, an opportunity for a guy like, you know, Johnny Kovacevic. I think he was really solid, actually. We didn't talk a lot about that on the post-game show, Dave, but, you know, for a guy who just played, like, what did he play, 10 or 11 minutes against the Canucks? I thought, you know, he was really solid. And like we've talked about, this is a guy that's, you know, taken the less traveled path to get to the NHL. So he's not your typical defenseman, you know, coming in with not a lot of pro experience, as Dave mentioned. Kovacevic has got a lot of AHL experience. So it's a good opportunity for them, you know, to play one of the top teams in the West.
Well, you know, look, even if the Jets play an A game today, if the Jets play an A game and the Blues play a B game, the Blues have more talent. So they very well might win the contest, even if the Jets play, you know, a quality game, you know, tonight, this afternoon.
So they have to play a B plus game. That's the key. Well, I was joking because I said A, you said B. So then I said B plus.
I understood.
By the way, a mark that I never got in university.
We know, but you know, I think it just goes to say that this Jets team
he's
in today's
degrees, Drew.
In Dave, I'm going to shut Ezzy up for a second. You know, for the Jets in today's game, they have to be more focused than we've seen over the past number of games. They don't have any element. They don't have any margin for error in today's game. Now, when you're a fragile team like the Jets are, despite their protestations against my using of that word, I'm still going to use it because they are a fragile team. You know, when you're fragile, you have no margin for error, and you have no margin for error, especially against a Blues team that is frankly more talented than you are up and down the lineup. This Jets team needs to have one of their best efforts throughout the entire roster and commitment to detail that we really haven't seen a lot from them this season, Dave.
No, there's no question. Sorry, I was involved in the chat having some fun with some questions that were being asked about where the Jets, who the Jets draft in 2017, a draft as he was at in Chicago. I unfortunately couldn't go because my baba wasn't feeling well, but
yeah, Huss and I broadcasted from a hotel room because we couldn't be in the United Center. You guys remember that?
Well, you could have been. You could have been, yeah, but it was an error by the employee who didn't get you guys in there. But you actually
shout out to
Huss.
One day we're gonna write a story about the behind the scenes nonsense at TSN 1290, and you folks will be amazed. Never mind that they broadcast games, but that they ever actually were able to be on the air, because that place was being held together by chewing gum and toothpicks from the day we started there.
Anyways, so, but yeah, it's so true. I mean, I think, but you know, Drew, I think the bigger story really for this Jets team is, okay, let's say you have a great 60-minute effort tonight, or this afternoon, sorry, in St. Louis, and you win the game, or you lose, whatever it is, but you play a complete game, it's a close game, you win 3-2 or you lose 2-1, whatever it is, and it's something you can hang your hat on. The key really isn't what you did today. It's how do you bring this forward? We've seen the team perform well, even like I said, that Pittsburgh game where it was really just kind of a brain fart for just a very short period of time. But this is the NHL, you know, a team that's good, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, you know, you were in like a murderer's row of good teams up, right? Upcoming. You had all these playoff teams, Washington, Nashville, Boston, Pittsburgh. You know, it wasn't going to be an easy schedule. You kind of already went through the easy portion earlier in the year, you know, and then you've got today's game. Philadelphia obviously is considered probably an easier game in theory. And then you have a Minnesota team that's doing very well, right? So when you come back after the All-Star break a week from Tuesday here in Winnipeg. So it's really, to me, it's not, of course, the effort today is incredibly important. You want to see that they're going to be able to put forth the requisite. I mean, the problem is your comments have blown up, right? The lack of identity, the identity, all that talk has become magnified because, of course, you're in a market that cares. And when you talk like that, people care and it resonates and it has an impact. So I think what you have to do now is you have to show, A, that you have this identity that, you know, I mean, it's interesting, right? You've had nothing but practice time to figure out what it is this team is going to be. And again, like I said, there's no excuse to say, well, you know, we've got guys coming in and out of our lineup. Like I said, look down the hall, not my hall because you just see Ezzy, but look down the hall and see what the Moose have been able to do. AHL is different than NHL. I get it, but it's still the same concept. Conceptually, you're replacing a player with a better player with a, you know, I don't want to call it inferior. That's a little derogatory.
Inexperienced player.
Well, not necessarily, but whatever. You're
usually like in this case, it is
from a talent perspective, generally not as good because otherwise they'd be in that league. So you replace them. One team is continuing to find that they can have no problems and they can keep it rolling. I mean, guys, they've lost the most critical position. They've lost Holm and Burden, and they found two goaltenders that continue to give them the opportunity to win.
Cormier has been an absolute revelation, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
And didn't they send back to Newfoundland?
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, yeah. Because they've got Holm and they've got DeRozier. So they're fine in that regard.
Also, but like, Adam Party missed him.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think there's an issue, but I think for me, it's about the biggest thing is having that solid game, but also about the consistency, being able to bring it forward after today. Because if you have one game, I think I said this last week or maybe the week before, you're not in a position where you can win one and then lose one, right? There's no moral victories like, oh, we played a really good game in St. Louis, but we got goalied in Philadelphia. You're past that point of moral victories. Now you're in desperation time.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be desperate. You have to play like this is, you know, an elimination game almost in the playoffs, right, Dave? Like you have to play like you're down, you know, 3-2 and this is game six. Like you kind of do. Like this is backs
last
up.
Last time they played a game six in St. Louis, it didn't go well.
No, but then that's why I said that, right? Like I mean, this is do or die time. It really is. Like, you know, we've been saying this, like it was do or die against the Florida Panthers back at Canada Life Center, right? Like it was do or die against the Vancouver Canucks. And that's why I think so many Jets fans are frustrated. I mean, I'm frustrated with this team. I want this team to start winning. I mean, I know we're not supposed to be fans. We're supposed to be unbiased here, but think of it like this isn't fun for these guys. Like you could tell just listening to like it was Mark Scheifele and Neil Pionk who came out because they bring out the players together, right? And you could tell that like these guys are kind of like they know they're struggling and they didn't have the answers. And that kind of explains why Scheifele didn't have any really good answer for what's your identity. And he said, I don't really think we have one. I think well, I was just going to say, Drew, quickly before you get in here, I was just going to say, Drew, Dave was talking about the goaltending. I know a lot of people are talking about the goaltending in the chat right now. Hellebuck does have to be excellent. And the good thing is he usually does bounce back from a quote-unquote bad game. And we know that, you know, the game against Vancouver, he wasn't, you know, the sharpest. So Hellebuck does have to be great. Doesn't mean he has to get a shutout, but we know he's going to have to be really good, because especially with, you know, an inexperienced blue line. I just wanted to get in there. The goaltending is going to be a key. Whether St. Louis goes with Binnington or Husso, doesn't matter. Hellebuck is going to have to keep the puck out of the net.
Well, there's no question about it because the Jets can't score. So, I mean, when you also factor that, you know, in as much as Hellebuck has been struggling as of late, and he has not been tremendous, and he has not been the solution for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, the offense is completely dried up. I mean, you know, he just, you know, when you can't score more than a goal or two goals and you're hard pressed to get two goals at 5-on-5, it really is no wonder that you're struggling and that you're not having success. And that's why I hark back to the simple things. They have to get back to those. You have to go out there and you have to win puck battles, you know, in the opposition zone. You have to go in there and you have to play with speed. You know, how many Jets lines play with speed? One would be the answer in my books, and that's the Dubois, Connor, Perfetti line. Everybody else is just too, I don't know if it's methodical or if it's just slow. I wouldn't say it's slow because there's no reason for guys who are, you know, generally considered fast skaters to be slow. But they're methodical and there's no urgency. They need to find that urgency. They needed to find that urgency 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But now you really need to find that urgency after, when you're in the midst of a 6-game losing streak.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And, you know, throw it to Dave after this. But, you know, we talked about the matchups. Like, I would imagine that Craig Berube would want the Ryan O'Reilly line against the Dubois-Connor Perfetti line. The O'Reilly line we talked about, that's with Buchnevich and Barbashev. I guess that's your number one line. And then the Thomas Kyrou-Tarasenko line, that line could – I mean, they probably would like to get that line up against the Jets' third line. But that's why I think, you know, Shifley, Kopp, and Wheeler, to me, is a key here. Because when you talk about, you know, matchups, I mean, even if you're going up against, let's say, Braden Schenn, Brandon Saad, Perron, I think probably, you know, not getting too much into the, you know, the specific line combinations here, but I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the Braden Schenn line matched up against the Shifley line. And like I said, O'Reilly's line Buchnevich and Barbashev, had to check daily faceoff. Shout out to our friends, Frank Ziravalli and Mike McKenna there. So I think Shifley, Kopp, and Wheeler are going to be a key line as well, because we expect Connor Dubois Perfetti to provide a lot of offense, Dave. But against this Blues team that doesn't give you much, I mean, you're going to need other lines to produce. So the Lowry line, but also the Shifley-Kopp-Wheeler line, to me, at least, I'm going to be watching to see, you know, if those guys can step up and provide some offense this afternoon.
Puck drop this afternoon is at 2 o'clock, post-game show right around.
Let's throw into Dave, Drew. Let Dave
4:45, 4:50. We got to go to break. Lou Korak's going to join us momentarily. Stay with us more on the
Too much Mandel, not enough Manuk. More Manuk.
you're listening, you're watching, say, you're chatting. More you're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. 10:30 Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg. We're pleased to be joined by Lou Korak, who covers the St. Louis Blues for NHL.com. The Jets and the Blues later on this afternoon, the Illegal Curve postgame show back here on our YouTube channel around 4:45, 4:50. Lou, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are things?
Good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
Sorry you have to see us, Lou. Back in the radio days, you just had to listen to us. So sorry that now you're subjected to seeing our mugs.
Well, I guess same for me. I mean, you guys actually see me and you're like, man, can we go back to the phone lines or what? You know? So.
No, absolutely not. You're bringing some handsome.
Well, have you had too much to drink this morning already or what?
Just coffee. Just coffee, Lou.
He hasn't stopped drinking from last night.
I promise, Lou, there's no Baileys in there.
Well, I can't speak for that last night for myself. So, but that's a story for another day. So
exactly. You're entitled to it. You're entitled to have a good time.
Lou, obviously we brought you on to talk about the Blues. You cover the team closely. You know, we were talking in our preview of this afternoon's game, you know, we were looking at this Blues roster, and up and down they have scoring, and up and down they have depth. And on the back end, you know, they got an admirable amount of defense, and in goal, especially with Ville Husso coming through, he's been tremendous for this team. You know, do you think the Blues are getting enough credit maybe on the national stage for just how good this team actually is?
Yes and no. I mean, I've seen times where, people are starting to take notice what they actually have. But then on the flip side, you know, you hear, well, they're in the same division with Colorado, Nashville's right there with them, Minnesota's right. I mean, this division is just a gauntlet right now. It really is. And Craig Berube just continues to reiterate, no matter who you play, 2 points or 2 points, and you have to bag as many points as you can if you really want to stay in this race. And Colorado's not going anywhere. Apparently Nashville's not going anywhere. Minnesota's not going anywhere. Dallas is starting to gain some traction again here, although they stubbed their toe last night. Not sure what to make of the Jets right now, but you know, the more they go into what's, you know, this is what, a 6-game losing streak, man, that can really put you behind the eight ball with the way these teams are really going in this division. And, but yeah, the Blues understand that, you know, they have to continue to tread water here and stay above water, because, you know, you go into just even a small, you know, you lose 2 in a row, 3 in a row, that can set you back pretty good. So, I think they have been getting some credit, maybe not as much as they deserve.
Lou, I remember going back to the, you know, TSN 1290 days, we talked to you about, you know, Jordan Kyrou. Like, this isn't his first year in the league, but he's having an absolute breakout year, as you know. Like, just checked it back to that 2016 draft. He actually has two more points than Jesse Puljujärvi, who's played just under 100 more games. So it just shows you what kind of, you know, draft pick they have. He was 35th overall. So, as you know, I mean, probably, you know, one of the best second round draft picks in a long time. But the question I wanted to ask you is about that line, because Robert Thomas, I mean, we know he won the cup with St. Louis, really good young player. He's turning into, I think, you know, one of the better playmakers in the entire league. Just that line with, you know, Kyrou, Thomas and Tarasenko, just how dynamic, you know, have they been? I mean, I think I know the answer, very dynamic, but just how fun have they been watching? Just how nice has it been to watch Kyrou turn into a superstar right before our eyes?
Yeah, and he's going to represent the Blues in Las Vegas at the All-Star game, and rightfully so. And, you know, to be honest, they have a handful of guys that can go there. And they, you know, you can make a case for Tarasenko. Thomas was part of the group of the last man in and obviously didn't get that. So getting the recognition, you know, that he deserves. But I don't know, guys, go back to a couple nights ago when they played Calgary. I don't know if you guys saw Kyrou's goal there. Just Robert Thomas can start and stop on a dime as well as anybody I've seen in the league right now. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what he can do with the puck. And yeah, he's known as a great playmaker. I think in our circles here that cover him, you know, we always watch him and go, shoot the puck. And once he gets that part of his game down pat, I think you're going to see the complete package. But I think Tarasenko is a guy right now that's having fun with them because he's sort of the grizzled veteran now, the mentor, so to speak, that's out there with those guys. And yeah, I mean, when you got two guys with speed like that, and Kyrou is just, man, he's just electric with his speed and skill and playmaking ability of his own. I mean, he's as confident as any draft pick that I've seen from them in a long, long time. And like you said, really coming into his own. I think what's really polished off his game is the fact that, you know, Craig Berube wants him to be mindful on the defensive side as well. I mean, when you turn pucks over in bad areas, you better be ready to defend, and you better be ready to win pucks along the wall battles. Those are some of the areas the coaches really like to nitpick on, and, you know, rightfully so. And I think Kyrou is really honed in on these areas, and it's really enhancing other parts of his game. And like you guys, you're starting to take notice on a national level, and rightfully so.
Luke Korak is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Luke covers the St. Louis Blues for NHL.com. Later this afternoon, the Jets and the Blues post-game show back here just before 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
You know, Lou, one of the storylines coming into the season was Vladimir Tarasenko and whether he was still going to be a member of the Blues. And no one would have been surprised if GM Doug Armstrong would have made a move. He probably needs to be commended for not making that move because, I mean, would you have expected this point, midpoint of the season, for Vladimir Tarasenko to be having the season he's having and seems to have just bought right back into being a member of the St. Louis Blues team?
No, I'll be honest with you guys. I, with everything that transpired over the summer, I didn't see any way that he was going to be, number one, welcome back into that locker room because, you know, Maybe I see it from a different standpoint because, you know, I've had people that have reminded me what happened with Patrick Marleau back in, 2016 with San Jose. He did the same thing, and that turned out well. They wound up making a run to the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, guys welcomed him back into the locker room. I mean, but to me, in my eyes, when somebody basically says, and I understand it, it's completely different than, you know, having a disagreement or not liking your teammates and whatnot. This is on a management level, on a medical level. But when you basically say, I'm the guy that's sitting next to you and I'm the guy that you're going to go to war with and go to battle with on a nightly basis, that I don't want to be there anymore. Okay. Then I don't want you here anymore. So that's kind of the way I viewed it. But like you said, you have to commend Doug Armstrong for being patient, remaining patient, and for his teammates for understanding what the situation was and welcoming him back in. I mean, this is a guy that's performed in the past and has been a difference maker for them. And you had to wonder if, you know, things were going to physically come, you know, be back to form for him. And obviously they are. So, but yeah, I think he's having more fun now than he ever has, believe it or not. And whether he's been able to let bygones be bygones, that remains to be seen. From my understanding to this point, his stance really hasn't changed. But as far as what he's seeing out of this group and, you know, the potential that's there, I mean, if you have that potential to win it all again, it tends to change people's minds pretty quickly. So we'll see as this thing plays out. He continues to get big roles, which I think he deeply appreciates. Big part in a top six role, big part on their power play. And as long as he continues to produce, he's going to be happy. And I think that's really all that the Blues care about at this point. What happens in the offseason or even going into next season, we don't know yet because he'll be going into the last year of his contract. But right now, he's a happy camper, and that's really all that they care about.
Yeah, winning is a great balm for things when there might be some hurt feelings. Winning makes things a lot better, no doubt about that.
Don't put the balm on, though, Drew.
Yeah, don't put the balm on there, Jackie Childs. Don't worry about that. Moving to the goaltending position, I mean, Jordan Binnington has been the guy in St. Louis for so many years. His numbers this year, his struggles have been well documented. 901 save percentage, 3.27 goals against average. And there's Ville Husso, who at one time was going to be the goaltender of the future. Now that future might be the present. 945 save percentage, 1.81 goals against average. I guess sort of a two-part question for you, Lou. If game one of the playoffs was tonight, who starts for the St. Louis Blues? And if it's Husso over Binnington, how would Binnington handle that? Because he's a guy who's sort of had a bit of a mercurial personality, at least on the ice.
Well, it's pretty obvious right now. If tonight was game one, Ville Husso's in goal. I mean, his play speaks for itself. And you know, like I had mentioned to you guys earlier, with this division the way it is, you have to win games and you have to bag points. And right now, he's getting the job done. And, you know, bottom line, no matter what anybody thinks about Jordan Binnington, it's just not happening for him right now. But with that being said, I think he's going to be okay because as far as how he would take it, well, like anybody else, I'm sure he'd be upset about it, and rightfully so. I mean, look at the situation that happened back in 2019 when he supplanted Jake Allen. Of course, Jake Allen was upset about it, but you know what? This is a guy that came in kind of like Ville Husso is right now, and he got the job done. And you guys know the rest there. I mean, the rest is history for this franchise. I mean, he came in and never looked back. So I think he can look back on that experience and basically say, this is me all over again, you know, and now the shoe's on the other foot, so to speak. So I think from that standpoint, you have to be understanding. You have to put the team first while you're trying to get your game back together. And you know what, guys? I don't think his numbers really reflect how well he has played. Yeah, in black and white, it doesn't look good. I mean, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. It's save percentage is not good enough. Goals against is not good enough. It has to be better. But I'll tell you what, he's been put in some situations this year where the team just hasn't played all that well in front of him, and he's stolen some games for them. So that's kind of what you want out of your number one guy, but, you know, it's caught up to him here a little bit. So he continues to work with Dave Alexander, who's one of the better goalie coaches. I hear from a number of people on a national level that have so much respect for him. And, you know, he's going to have some time here after today. The Blues don't play again until February 10th to hopefully get his game back in gear and back in order. To have two guys, two quality guys, is unparalleled in the league right now. You need it. I mean, you want to be the Edmonton Oilers right now? I mean, they can't find one guy that can stop the puck, let alone two. And right now, the Blues have that luxury. So while Ville Husso is going good, which is great for them to see, he, like you had mentioned, he actually was the guy that they were billing as the future until Binnington passed him up. So to have two guys that you can truly rely on, and his teammates haven't lost any confidence in him. I mean, they were greatly upset the other night. I mean, the game in Calgary last Monday was a debacle, But it was probably the one game this year where the Blues had just absolutely laid an egg. I really can't recall where they really played so poorly, and he just happened to be on the receiving end of it. And they haven't lost confidence in either one of these guys, especially Binnington. Obviously, they have great confidence in Husso right now, and it's a great luxury to have.
Well, Lou, I apologize on behalf of the entire country of Canada, because I know Justin Falk didn't want to come to Canada. So I apologize. I mean, they were doomed, right? I mean, Falk doesn't like to. Obviously just giving. I'm giving Justin a hard time, right? But he's just speaking his mind, and we love that. But I wanted to ask you a question about, you know, what the Blues might do before the trade deadline. But we also would be remiss if we didn't ask. There's no morning skate, of course, because it's an afternoon game. But do you know if it's going to be Husso or Binnington? Because obviously Binnington has already played twice against the Jets this year. He was really good back in November. I forget what the score was, but I remember Binnington made, I think it was something like 35 or 40 saves. And then he let in four goals in a loss in December. But do we have any, are you leaning towards it being Binnington or Husso at this point?
Craig Berube doesn't like to tip his hand. He tends to like to play games with us in the media. We've actually gotten to the point where we quit asking him, because we just get the proverbial watch during warmups, and you'll find out then.
Right.
So, but just based off of practice yesterday, I'm leaning on Ville Husso getting the start. I just think they want to continue to ride the hot hand that's going for them as they go into the break here. I mean, these are the last 2 points that you can get before they go into their break, and you don't want to leave them on the table if they're at all possible there for them to get. So we'll see, obviously, when they come out for pregame warmups, but I tend to think it's going to be Ville Husso today.
Okay, and thank you for that. And so going into the trade deadline question, you know, we're about, 7 weeks, less than 2 months away from the NHL trade deadline. And I want to ask you, you know, what you think the Blues might do. It's a long ways away, but, you know, earlier, I think it was this week or last week, we heard, you know, the Blues might be in on a guy like Jacob Chychrun. And then there's obviously the connection with, you know, Doug Armstrong and Bill Armstrong there, Phoenix and, pardon me, Arizona and St. Louis, good left shot defenseman. A lot of people have said that Chychrun might be a guy that the Blues are targeting. Do you think that would be a good fit? Do you think that the Blues, you know, are going to go after, you know, a bigger name like that? Because you hear, you know, the Coyotes asking price might be really high. And I even heard, you know, Robert Thomas and his name in there, which to me is ridiculous, because I don't think the Blues have any interest in trading a guy like Robert Thomas, even if they could get Jacob Chychrun. But what are your thoughts on kind of those Chychrun rumors and what the Blues might do, you know, 7 weeks away from the trade deadline?
Well, he would be a great fit here, you know, play on that left-handed side, which is something they would need. I would slot him in there. And, you know, no knock on Nico Mikkola, who's taken great strides for them this year, but I think he would be a perfect pairing with Colton Parayko. And now you've got yourself a top four that you can pretty much match up against with anybody with the other set with Krug and Falk. I mean, you're pretty well set there, but guys, I just think the price is going to be too much. And right off the hop there, you're mentioning Robert Thomas. Bill Armstrong knows this organization as well as anybody being in it. He helped nurture and draft these guys. Robert Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, some of the other young guys, Jake Neighbors up in Edmonton, who they're very high on. These are names that are going to come up, and I just don't think Doug Armstrong is going to be willing to part with the asking price there. My understanding from some people that I've talked to is they are active. They are looking. They are searching. They would like to shore up their decor, namely along that left side. And I think the more realistic targets for them would be somebody like, and somebody you guys are familiar with, is a Ben Chiarot in Montreal.
Yeah, I was going to mention that him, Lou.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben Chiarot would probably be more suitable and a good fit for them. Somebody that's got some abrasiveness, some sandpaper to his game, some physicality that they could definitely use back there. Maybe somebody maybe far-fetched here, because he is the captain up there, and I can't imagine you would part with a captain after your first year as an expansion team, is Mark Giordano. Probably another guy that would be a more likely fit as far as a trade partner is concerned. A name that was thrown at me a couple of days ago, also with Montreal, I don't see it being realistic, but if it were to be out on the table, is the young defenseman Romanov that's out there. I don't know if Montreal would be willing to part with somebody that's 22 years old, but you see what's going on there. maybe all bets are off as far as the Canadians are concerned. I mean, everybody could probably be had. Maybe not Carey Price still, but I mean,
those are just some of the names. You even hear Brent, sorry to, I was going to say Brendan Gallagher, you hear, right, too? Lou, sorry to cut you off, but I mean, it's kind of unimaginable that they would trade Gallagher. He's been their heart and soul for 10 years, right?
Right. And that's, yeah, I mean, you're probably thinking almost everybody, if not everybody, is up for sale in Montreal. But that's a, you know, the young defenseman Romanoff, like I said, that's a name that's been thrown at me. And I find that to be intriguing. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I wouldn't see why the Canadians would be willing to part with somebody that you're still trying to develop in your system. But you never know. But again, Sherratt, Giordano are probably two of the more likely names that that would be suitable for the Blues to maybe not part with as much as you're going to have to give up for Chychrun, because everything that I'm hearing is the Coyotes are wanting to farm for him. And I think that one's going to go down more closer to the deadline, if it even goes down at all, because you're talking about a 23-year-old guy still who's we know he's good, but he continues to develop in their system and continues to rise up that ladder, and somebody that you have under control. So all the components that Doug Armstrong would love, I just don't see him matching the price that they're going to look for.
You know, Lou, springboarding a little bit off of Drew's comment about national attention for the Blues, I don't think Craig Berube is getting enough respect for what he's been able to do, because, I mean, you got what was going on in St. Louis, watching the amount of, they were using spare parts, they had, you know, short lineups. Is he getting enough recognition for the fact that, you know, he's got a 667 winning percentage right now with this team, seems to have him flying all cylinders. Obviously, great goaltending is going to help. But is the coach getting the recognition, at least, like I said, Drew said, nationally, for what he's been able to do with the team that a lot of times has been literally shorthanded?
Probably not. And I mean, just, you know, look at his resume. He comes in, interim coach, wins a Stanley Cup. Next year, comes in, they're first in the Western Conference when the league shuts down. Came in last year, a team that was just decimated with injury after injury, and found a way to get them into the playoffs. No, have things gone well for them in the playoffs the last 2 years? Certainly not. And again, he's got them here year four, right back up near the top of the Central Division. And, you know, people are talking about him being a Stanley Cup contender. So I think his resume speaks for itself. And to be honest, guys, what really is puzzling to me right now still is, why has Craig Berube not been given an extension yet? I mean, he's in the last year of his contract. He's earned it. He's earned it, and he's deserved it. We would all love to pick Doug Armstrong's brain about this one. I don't know if he's waiting to see what happens in the postseason again, but, you know, I understand that coaches can also be part of that what have you done for me lately group, you know. But, man, I just find it hard to believe that this is a guy that you would want to let get to the end of his contract and potentially leave. I mean, the players respect him. They absolutely love him. He knows what buttons to push. He understands the right buttons to push at the right time, even when things maybe aren't going as well as they tend to. I mean, you guys see it around the league with veteran coaches more than anything. You know, their word, you know, guys get tired of it and they start to tune them out. That hasn't happened here. And it's pretty unique. I mean, like I said, we're into year four of Craig Berube, and no matter who's here, they respect the coach and they love the coach. So, and they continue to play for him. And that's, if you've got your players' attention, you're doing something right. And, like I said, Craig Berube deserves an extension, and no reason for me to think that he's not going to get one. I'm just a little surprised that it's gone on as long as it has, and that it's gone on as long as he hasn't had one yet.
The Winnipeg Jets will visit the St. Louis Blues later this afternoon. Lou Korak will have it covered for NHL.com.
Well, hold on one second, Drew. You know, I have one last question. As many people know, 2022 WrestleMania, I'm not sure what WrestleMania we're at right now. It might be in the 30s. I'm not exactly sure. But the Royal Rumble. Sorry, Lou. Let me start this again. The Royal Rumble is in St. Louis tonight at the Dome. So we need a Royal Rumble prediction. I don't know if you're going to go with, you know, Brock Lesnar, or if you're going to go with, you know, Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon, for those who don't know, is in the Royal Rumble. You got Johnny Knoxville in there, Big E. Like, who are you going with, Lou, for the Royal Rumble?
You know, I wish I had an answer for you guys because, man, I'll tell you what, in my younger days with the Hulk Hogans and Ultimate Warriors and Randy Savage, man, I followed this stuff to a T, but as I got older, I guess, I don't know if I got wiser or if I just got smarter. I kind of tuned away from that stuff, but yeah, actually it's funny you guys mentioned that because one of my closest friends actually works down at the Dome and he's been talking to me about this for about the last month now. So I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar. What the heck? It's a name that everybody knows. It's a name that everybody has heard of. You know, he very popular and, you know, a great character. I mean, you know, he's fit for what they do there right now. So there's my guy for you. I'm going to stick with Brock Lesnar in this one, but my buddy says it should be a great event down there. And it's going to lead into it. It's perfect for Blues fans as they get out of, this afternoon's game, they can head right on down to the Dome and have a night of it there.
I think the better question would have been, Lou, is which member of the St. Louis Blues would be more likely to enter the Royal Rumble? Because I mean, and it might be the head coach, even though he's up there in age.
I would say Parayko could hold his own in there.
Well, he's kind of known as the gentle giant. I don't know about him, but yeah, I think you're onto something there with Craig Berube, man. I'm telling you what, a lot of us here. He hasn't dealt with COVID. I think COVID is afraid of Craig Berube. Let's put it that way. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I mean, just his presence alone is intimidating in itself. I mean, we get to a point where it's like you're almost afraid to ask him the wrong question because this guy's going to bite your head off if you do.
Lou Korak covers the St. Louis Blues for NHL.com. Lou, appreciate your time. Nice to see you. We'll do it again real soon.
Good to see you guys, too. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Lou. Take care, Lou. Thanks again.
Lou. You got it.
There you go. All right,
guys.
Lou, take care. Lou Korak of NHL.com covering the St. Louis Blues. Our final guest on this morning's edition.
Sorry, I was going to say, for those who watched or listened to us, I should say, on TSN 1290, Lou Korak was somebody who we had on dozens of times when the Jets would play the Blues. Nobody knows the Blues better than him. He's a great guy. We were kibitzing with him about the Royal Rumble.
What did they used to call the Royal Rumble? What was it called back in the day? Like the full cage match? Well,
no, it was it was always the Royal Rumble.
There's a difference between it. Now here we're getting a little bit too
Dave's
dirty.
No, thinking of Survivor Series, I think.
No, he's thinking of a Battle Royal. You're thinking of Battle Royal. That's Royal. Yeah. That's it. The difference between a Royal Rumble and a Battle Royal, and God
this
help me,
information
I
don't know, but okay.
A battle royal starts with all the wrestlers in ring at the same time.
Yeah. Yep.
Whereas a Royal Rumble, every 2 minutes a new wrestler joins the.
But how's that fair for the first guy? He's got to deal with like all these
That's why it's so dramatic, Dave. Number one versus number 30. Yeah. It's a huge advantage at being number 30.
Right. And who was it back in the day, guys? Who's the guy that back in the day was number one and he won? I think it was like Shawn Michaels. I think Stone Cold won the most Royal Rumbles. Probably Tito Santana.
No, yeah. I mean, the one that you might be thinking about.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Chris Benoit went in at number one and won, but then he had some – they try not to talk about it so much given how his the rest of everything played out with him.
Let's not touch that
one. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
I don't think he ever won it.
No,
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Dave, your wrestling knowledge ended right around 1988. That's what I'm picking up on here. When the cartoons
– ended and Hogan turned bad. My heart broke and I could never watch wrestling again.
What about when Tugboat turned into Typhoon and joined Earthquake and became the Natural Disasters?
I think I started watching the Glow at that point.
I want to mention one thing to Drew's point about the difference between the Battle Royale and Royal Rumble.
There's also another
match called a Lumberjack match, and that's where other wrestlers surround the ring and then throw the other guys back in. So there's also
Andre the Giant. That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Itchy Scratchy the Barbarian.
If you haven't watched that documentary, I recommend that documentary about Andre the Giant for anybody.
Oh, I watched the Macho Man one. Ooh, yeah.
Snap it to a Slim Jim. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the Jets need to start performing better because if the next 41 games are us naming old wrestlers, it's going to be a very long second half of the season.
That's true. But I mean,
remember when Nails escaped from prison and then attacked the Big Boss Man?
No, I don't.
Remember when the Mountie poured a bucket of water on Brett the Hitman Hart and electrocuted him?
Well, this show's over.
Ezzy, you know, for a guy who
I'm a huge wrestling fan. As a kid, I used to be so into wrestling, my dad and sister would make fun of me because obviously we're from the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior era, right? So I like both of those guys. And that's why WrestleMania 6 or 7 was such an epic match. That was the one that was at Skydome in Toronto, and Ultimate Warrior 1, right? So
yeah, Paul Orndorff.
I was huge into wrestling. I had the Hart Foundation poster. I had the belts. I had everything.
Actually, it's funny. Just a quick aside. I think I was into wrestling until I saw it went to my first live match at the old Winnipeg Arena. And I remember it was like Hillbilly Jim. Like it was classic. Yeah. Paul Orndorff was the... I think
Cowboy
it was
Paul Bob Orton.
It was Paul Orndorff versus Hogan back in the day. And I remember like these guys, it was like a... like, I mean, as a kid, you don't recognize it, but that, because you watch it on television. Then you go and it was like, there'd be Ivan Sheik. He was classic. Nikolai Volkov. He was also amazing. But the problem was like they'd wrestle and then they'd go up because they had 20 minutes. They'd go back to the back room, be standing around watching like, what's going on here? It was terrible. As soon as I went to my first live wrestling, I was done.
Also, like, another shout out to Mr. Perfect. He was also one of my favorites.
You know, the sad part is the number of wrestlers that you guys have mentioned that are dead is really, I think, what is the most...
Iron Sheik is in dead. He's alive and he's tweeting.
The Iron
Sheik. I think Nikolai Volkov is still alive too.
Yeah, and Hulk Hogan's immortal, Drew. What are you talking about?
No, but you mentioned Macho Man. You just mentioned Mr. Perfect.
Macho Man was the best. Like
the memories that they provide us in the square circle will last forever, Drew.
Oh, Leaping Lanny Poffo, the British Bulldogs.
Dave, did you know that Leaping Lanny Poffo and the Macho Man are brothers in real life?
Yeah, I knew that. Okay, I told you I watched the documentary. Okay.
On that note, I think we can wrap up this Saturday morning.
Was it George Animal Steel who had the blue tongue?
Yes, and he's the guy who ate the turnbuckle.
Yeah, he used to rip open the turnbuckle.
Yeah, and he was in love with Miss Elizabeth, also dead. So, I mean, it sort of gets a little depressing when you think about it in that context. In any event, right around 5 o'clock, a little bit before 5 o'clock this afternoon, we'll be talking about the Winnipeg Jets. Will their playoff chances be dead? I guess it depends on what happens this afternoon against the St. Louis Blues. Before we head out, a big thank you to our sponsors. They make this show possible. They make the post-game show possible. They make the website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Big thank you to Jesse Pollock. Big thank you to Lou Korak for joining us on the show this morning. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. On your way out, if you haven't done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us some comments. We'll see you back here just before 5 o'clock this afternoon for the post-game show. Thanks so much for everyone joining us. Until later on this afternoon, thanks for watching the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.